All right, and welcome back. It's midday. It's Thursday. That means it's the day that we check in with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. Judy, always good to see you.
Always good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about The Magic Play. That's up currently at the Olney Theater Center in Olney, Maryland. So The Magic Play, I mean, is it a play or is it a magic show? What is it?
Well, Tom, it is trying to be both, and it doesn't quite succeed at either. The framework of the show is an actual magic show performed by an actual magician. The actual magician is Brett Snyder, and he also created the tricks that are in the show, card tricks. The character he plays is called simply Magician. We don't find out his name. And we are the audience for this magic show. Now, the night I saw it, the first trick that he performed didn't come out right. But
you hate it when that happens. Oh, that's tough luck for him.
But
my sympathies are with him on that.
Stuff happens. Yeah. And that's not the reason that I say the play doesn't quite succeed. The play is trying to be much more than just a magic show, as you can imagine. It is trying to use magic to talk about broader subjects, broader themes. You can get an idea of this right off the bat in the magician's patter for that very first trick.
Does anyone here know what a jackpot actually is? See? No one. Or, I don't know, maybe some of you do know, but you're sitting there like, he doesn't really want us to talk back, right? And when did that happen? How did we go from an age of Shakespeare, of shouting at the stage, to a room of people who sit down and pretend they're not sitting in a room full of people? Because that's a hell of a trick.
All right, that's Brett Snyder in The Magic Play over at the Olney Theater Center. He's talking about jacks like in a deck of cards.
Right,
like
jack, queen, king. Exactly.
All right, so last week when we talked about the fact that you're going to be reviewing The Magic Play today, you said that you had previously been very impressed by this playwright's previous play at the Olney. I mean, so are there similarities? Is there a common thread between this one and that one?
Well, yes. The playwright is Andrew Hinderaker, and there is a major similarity. He wrote both plays for specific performers. The previous play was called Colossal. It was at Olney in 2014, and it was about football injuries. And he wrote it specifically for an actor with a disability, an actor in a wheelchair. The Magic Play was written specifically for Brett Snyder, who, besides being a professional magician, is also an actor and collaborated with the playwright on this show for 4 years, actually. And there's another similarity. Both plays have a structure based on their subject. The football game, for example, in Colossal, the play was staged in 4 15-minute quarters. There was a halftime show. The quarters were counted down on a scoreboard. And The Magic Play uses the framework of a magic show, but it doesn't stick to it quite as literally. Both plays get into all kinds of other subjects. The Magic Play deals with subjects that are so general, however, that it really could be done in all kinds of different frameworks. These subjects include the magician's romantic relationship, which is on the skids, and his stalled relationship with the father who abandoned him when he was a small child. And the playwright uses the magic show for a whole series of extended metaphors. Really, really extended metaphors.
Yes, emphasis on the extended.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything in the magician's standard practice becomes a metaphor. Manipulation, control, trust, concealing things, making things disappear. It's way too heavy-handed. But that's not all. The magician's boyfriend is a diver trying out for the Olympics. So the idea of taking a chance, taking a leap, taking a dive into the unknown, that also becomes a metaphor. I brought an example of the way the magician talks around things or sort of throws them in obliquely, even when he's trying out a trick for his boyfriend, who's played by John Hudson Odom.
My father was obsessed with magic, and one of his favorite effects was making something disappear. I once told him you should make a person vanish, and then he took my advice. You see, my father was a magician who disappeared on us. But to begin, I just need you to pick a card.
I'm sorry, can you back up the light?
Yeah, it's too much, isn't it? It's like funny, awkward, not funny, ha-ha.
Wait, just...
It's like Tennessee Williams, but not in a good way.
Tennessee Williams, but not in a good way.
Exactly. The father who fell in love with long distance.
There you go. That's Brett Schneider and John Hudson Odom in Olney Theater Center's production of The Magic Play. So obviously a real magic show has lots of audience participation. Is there any in this one? Do they bring anybody up to the stage and cut them in half or anything?
They don't cut them in half. They're card tricks. But yes, there is a good deal of audience interaction. You could get that sense even in the first clip that we heard. The magician does bring volunteers up on stage. So the playwright and the director, Helena Kays, have to allow for a certain amount of spontaneity, a certain amount of improvisation on the part of the magician. Olney's production is one of its rolling world premieres. It was produced in Chicago last fall. Same director, Helena Kays, same actor, Brett Schneider. The play has to have an actor who can handle improvisation, can handle unscripted audience interaction. Now, magicians, of course, are used to this to varying degrees, but Schneider is also playing a dramatic character who has to learn and to grow and to change, and then he has to incorporate the audience's interaction into that kind of character development. And Schneider really does pretty well with this. He's a little bit stiff, but that's partly the way the character's written. He's always performing. And this is one of his boyfriend's complaints, that everything the magician does on and off stage is a performance, that it's all an act, that he doesn't open himself up to his true feelings. He's always concealing and controlling and manipulating. And you see those metaphors creeping back in.
While the boyfriend is diving and jumping. And yes, you hear it last on the ground.
You see him dive on stage, too.
Yeah, that's what brings Sondheim to mind. Okay, so most theaters are very strict about cell phones. They always tell us, you know, turn them off. But I understand at one point in this show that the magician, Mr. Schneider, asks the audience to turn on their phones. What's that about?
Yes. The last trick in the show, the magician does ask the audience to turn their cell phones on, and he gives a phone number and asks us to text one piece of magic we would most like to see. And this involves participation by the whole audience. And then he brings a volunteer up on stage. I'm not going to give away any more about this trick, except to say that it is such a great trick. It almost made up for all the loaded, repetitive metaphors and the way the plot is jammed into this magic show format. The night I was there, the volunteer wished for something that was very unconventional. It was pretty abstract. And the way that Brett Schneider worked this into the plot was just stunning. I don't think that most magic shows have two acts, and that may be partly the problem with this show. The first act in particular does need work, and it's also difficult to sort out how the structure functions at times, particularly in that act. And then those metaphors, Tom, they are just too forced. Yeah. I mean, to quote The New Yorker, block that metaphor.
Yes, you def don't seem too hot on the metaphors.
No.
All right, so that's The Magic Play, the Olney Theater Center. It's there until a week from Sunday, the 7th of May, and we've got links to details about the showtimes, et cetera, at wipr.org/midday. So, Judy, I understand that there are some staged readings coming up that you want to tell us about?
Yes, Tom, there is a new company in town that focuses exclusively on staged readings of new work. The company's called A Work in Progress Theater Company, and it received more than 100 submissions in this inaugural season, and it's giving the 6th and final reading of this season at 3 p.m. Sunday at the UB Blake National Jazz Institute and Cultural Center. It's a play called Community. It's by a New Jersey-based playwright, Stephen Kaplan, and he will be in town for this. He's doing a workshop beforehand. And then I also wanted to mention Baltimore Center Stage's 31st Annual Young Playwrights Festival. This takes place Monday night. It's free and open to the public. And students from kindergarten through 12th grade participate in this program.
Yeah, they've been doing this for a while.
Oh, and it's so much fun. If you've ever gone to it, it really is. Monday's awards ceremony will include stage readings of plays by students from Baltimore City and Baltimore County and four other Maryland counties. And it is great fun to go and celebrate this and achievement of these kids.
It's good then to have kids and and aspiring adult playwrights getting a chance to hear them.
Right, and they have professional actors work with them. So
terrific.
It's really a thrill.
So next week we're going to talk about Dorian's Closet. Where is that?
This is a brand new world premiere musical at Rep Stage in Columbia.
All right, look forward to it. Thank you so much, Judy. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Tom.
A lunch for our guests today on every Thursday is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day. They're all listed on the website, Eddie's of Roland Park. Com. So that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, a reminder that it's a special edition of the Midday Movie Mayhem. We'll be live from the Stavros Niarchos Foundation Parkway, the brand new home of the Maryland Film Festival. There will be, we believe at this point, there still are a few tickets left. So if you'd like to join the audience for a sneak peek at the Parkway, please come to our website, WIPR.org, and there'll be a link for tickets. Our movie mavens, Jed Dietz and Ann Hornaday, will join us. Plus, we'll have several special guests. The Maryland Film Festival starts next Wednesday, and we look forward to our little pre-opening party at the Parkway tomorrow, right here at noon on Midday. Hope you can join us then. Stay tuned for Here and Now, which is on the way right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you've been with us. Have a great day.